good evening. Welcome to those listening to BBS Radio online. Thank you for being here with us tonight. It is August the 19th, 2015. And we have a bunch of questions, I guess, for tonight. Thank you for being here. We had a bunch more people join in here in the last. Welcome to you all. And if you have a chance, please say your name or location.
Who, me?
Who, you?
Dharmananda.
Dharmananda, welcome, my friend.
Happy.
And this is Rhonda from Taos.
Welcome to the call, Rhonda.
Thank you, Hives.
All right.
Hi, Hives.
This is Terry from Dallas.
Two at the same time. I did pick up Terry from Dallas. Hi, Terry. Good evening.
Yes, hello.
Who else was that?
This is Joni in St. Louis.
Welcome back, Joni.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Catherine from California.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. All right. All right, we are 2 minutes away from the hour, and as you can hear when you're listening through BBS Radio, this is, as usual, a conference call. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Oh, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right.
Hey, hi, are you really only 28 years old?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I was wrong. I'm born on the 28th.
Oh.
28th what?
You have the poison spiritual acumen of a man of 30.
Yeah. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you for
Marilyn.
Being
here. Marilyn.
Hi. Hi. Who's that?
Joni.
Marilyn.
Hi, Joni and Marilyn.
Oh. Hi there, Marilyn.
Do I hear Gail?
Hi, Gail from New Jersey.
Welcome to the call, Gail.
Oh, thank you.
All right. The more people have joined in, please say your name and location if you have a chance.
Creighton, New Mexico.
Creighton, welcome to the call.
Thank you, sir. I'm so happy you're here, my friend.
Thank you.
This is Joshua in Cedar Park, Texas.
Welcome back, Joshua.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, but only if you want to. It is 1 minute away from the clock of six. And Wynn and Terry be here soon. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
It's Jim. How are you, Heights?
Fantastic, Jim. How are you doing?
You are fantastic is much too good. I don't like that. That's terrible.
I'll take a leather out or so.
I'm so happy you're great. And love to everyone on the call. And we all look forward to what Wynn has to say and Terry's channeling.
All right. Thank you for being here, Jim. Welcome to the next.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry.
Terry Brown. Hello, sister. How are you doing?
Hi. Real good.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hi, Don.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Edna.
Guten Abend, Edna.
Hi, man. How are you?
Well, yeah, welcome to the call. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
All right. And somebody else joined in. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris Presley Morrison Lennon in Memphis.
All right, Chris. Good to have you on the show tonight.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Another beautiful day.
Yeah, man.
All right. Welcome to all those who are joining in here with us through BBS Radio and here. Somebody else joining on the conference phone, please say your name and location.
Sure, it's Vaughn from Allentown, PA.
All right, Vaughn, how are you doing?
Never better.
All right, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right, and the next caller, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hello, everybody. This is Bonnie.
Hello. Welcome to the call, Bonnie.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
This is Dorian from Seattle.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Welcome to the call. To the next caller, please say your name and location.
Hi, good evening. My name is Carolyn, and I'm in Quito.
Welcome to the call, Carolyn.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. Good to
hear. Are you back from the Galapagos?
I am back. I got back late Sunday night, and it was just an incredible experience.
Oh, great. I'm so glad you weren't eaten by one of the
and
big lizards.
A big turtle.
A dragon.
Hold on, please say your name and location.
Hi, Heights. It's Eric in Santa Fe.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Cleo and... Cleo from Connecticut. Good evening, everybody.
My beautiful.
Hi, Cleo.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
I have to say, I did purchase Dr. Terry Friedman's book, and I was out of the country, so I couldn't be reading it while I was gone. But I am just so amazed and so pleased and so in love with this book and his life. I'm just so that I got on to the grid here so I could find
it. All right.
You know, there's a special call for Terry on Saturday afternoons at 3 o'clock. And, you know, it's kind of like just by, I didn't put a big notice out because I'm scared he can't handle it. But, you know, the people that are coming are quite enjoying it. And, you know, one of the guys on our call went there and took him and his caregiver to dinner. And so there's kind of good things happening.
Well,
cool.
Thank you. And
we should have one for Chris, too.
Well, should we come take you to dinner, Chris?
Yeah, of course. Oh, I'll take you to dinner. Come to Memphis, man. I'll give you some Memphis food.
Yeah.
Even though I don't eat meat anymore, but you guys can have some barbecue and rendezvous and stuff like that if you want.
Chris, you're becoming the butt of all our jokes. Okay.
Oh, well, that's cool.
You know what that proves?
I like butt.
You're a butt.
somebody said I'm a hemorrhoid. Somebody called me a hemorrhoid one time because I'm a pain in the ass.
Now, watch your language, please. Okay. We have,
can I say arsh? Like Scott? Like our arsh?
Yeah, the arsh, right.
Excuse me, this is Jim. Can I add something to this? Many years ago, there was a commercial, and this is for real.
Are you on?
It was for Preparation H, and they said, now you can kiss your hemorrhoids goodbye.
Can't get rid of me. You can't get rid of me so easily. I'm about to go on a night on the town anyway. I'm about to go out for a night of debauchery. So after this call, I need a little good energy before I go out to balance out my night of debauchery. So.
Awesome.
I think you're hoping to have a night of debauchery.
It's going to happen.
It is?
Oh, yeah. It's already set up. It's already happened. I'm just catching up, in linear third dimensional time.
Well, you got to rest, huh?
You know what William Blake said?
Yes, the road to excess is past the wisdom.
That's right.
Yeah.
The path of excess is the road to wisdom.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
All right.
Anna from Kent, Washington.
Welcome to the call, Anna.
Thank you.
Are we on BBS yet?
Yes, we are, and Terry is here. You are here. We have a bunch of people here. Wednesday evening.
Terry, are you ready? Hello, Terry.
Oh.
You're not ready?
No, I'm never ready.
But I mean, are you not ready, not ready, or are you not ready?
I'm not ready, not ready. I mean, I'm...
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Uh-oh.
I think that's a good sign, to be ready as you'll ever be.
Because if you're not ready, not ready, we can get Willow on, and she and I can have an argument, you know. That's always entertaining.
I see.
Willow's decided she likes me.
And Wynn, don't be telling people lies.
That's true, because he didn't say likes, he said love.
Oh, heist! Terry, you don't believe all that, do you?
I'm just listening.
You're smart.
Terry is finally learning the art of diplomacy.
Yes. I need to learn that.
Which is more than I can say for Chris. I'm making really bad jokes in my mind, but I'm not going to say them, okay?
is Chris taking Dwayne's place?
No.
No?
He's not taking... as far as I know, he is not making any...
phone calls to women to ruin their lives.
Wait a second. Wasn't you who's telling me you got to focus on the positive?
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Okay.
What are you bringing all this up for, okay?
See, yeah. I need you in my life. Okay, I'll mute myself again.
Bye, Willow.
Bye, guys.
Chris is being Chris.
Now, everybody that's listening on BBS, let us indulge ourselves. This is what happens to all these giggly people. But, you know, it is...
Let's start our own recording, man.
You want to start the recording?
Yeah, you don't? Well, 609.
Go ahead.
This conference is being recorded.
You know, August 19th, 2015, everybody wherever they are, and temporarily stranded on planet Earth, hopefully. Some of us are anchoring ourselves in other places. And we especially welcome everybody on BBS, everyone that might be here for the first time. If you're here for the first time, you have to excuse us for being silly, okay? And this is just the way all these people evolved. They keep coming in on our calls. And it's actually nice, because even though there are many, many aspects to our lives which are very serious, and there's many aspects to our planet which are very serious, on some level, we've got to be able to get through this in joy and in neutrality. And, you know, things happen around us, and we just have to flow with what's happening. And the better we flow, the more we change, the more we grow. The better we flow, the more we grow. And, my other new saying of the week is, ignorance is bliss, but knowledge is power. They didn't add that to it, okay? So it's really important to have some bliss, but also have knowledge, because knowledge is what gives you the ability to have discernment, to give you the ability to understand things around you, understand the people around you, and understand yourself. and understand the negative. That's one of the things Willow and I were having a brief conversation with about before everyone got on the line. And, you know, I am of the dispensation that I personally need to know how the negative operates. And I need to because of the work I'm doing. You know, it shouldn't escape you that around this work at this level, there's such a thing that Carla Ruckert called it negative greetings, negative attacks. When you become a bright light, you become visible to the dark. And they're real. They are really real. This is not some amphibious, ethereal devil. They exist, and they're doing stuff. And, you know, you guys don't necessarily have to know it, but I have to know it. I have to know it because I have to know what I'm dealing with. I have to know how to protect myself. I have to know how to protect you guys, even when you don't understand it. It's like, and I have to not be afraid. Actually, you have to be willing to die to do this kind of work at this level. You have to. And, I mean, I didn't know I was making that decision, but, you know, it's just what the way it works. It goes with the territory. And so, in any case, it's like, but not everybody has to know all of this. They don't have to. And it can be a preoccupation. It can be. I mean, you can go on the internet and there's a million conspiracy websites. There's all this and all that. And, you know, there's disinfo. When you try to go on the internet to try to figure out what's going on, then you got to figure out, is this guy telling me the truth or not? Can I trust this information or not? And then I have to keep cross-referencing and cross-referencing, cross-referencing. And if I really get up against the wall, I might ask in a session. And if I do that in a session, the session can't be longer than 5 minutes, 10 minutes, because they start coming in on the frequency. And then we have to close. So it's very much true that one should focus on what's positive. And one should focus on love and loving sharing. But it's also true that we live in a world where anything can happen. And there are a lot of beings vying for power and control on this planet. And it's good to know who they are and what their agendas are, okay? For me. And, you know, sometimes I put little things out and I share it with you. Because it can be scary, and I don't want to scare anybody, and that screws it all up, okay? But still, knowledge is power, and this is all connected with empowering yourself. And part of that, for some people, has to do with grasping, you know, duality and the yin-yang symbol. You know, you don't just see positive love light, okay? You see a yin-yang symbol, which is dark and white. And going beyond duality means incorporating the dark. There's a circle around the yin-yang symbol. And it doesn't, by incorporating it, it doesn't mean to be dark. It doesn't mean, you know, it's Jesus kind of had it down when he said, turn the other cheek. But he also said, be as wise as serpents. And so we all have the challenge of discernment and constantly making good decisions in our life. And the more you understand, the better your decisions become. On that note, we're going to start. And, you know, actually, I'm going to call in the light, and then I'm going to do just a little bit of planetary healing because the planet needs it really badly right now. And then we're going to ask you questions. Okay? So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person here. Any negativity, you take it to the highest realms of light and transmute it for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And right now, let us tap into that group energy that we are creating. Each of us that wants to is giving a little bit of their soul energy to this group energy, and we invite our sources to come into this group energy and support our intentions for the highest good of all concerned. And right now, we are going to take this energy and literally blast it all around the Ring of Fire, the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean. We're going to look at the map, and we're going to see the Pacific Ocean, we're going to see those land masses, and we're just going to focus totally on any earthquakes, the gradual releases, and away from population centers. And we can just imagine in our mind's eye this great, you can use the image of a laser beam or a searchlight, maybe a searchlight that is big enough to light the Pacific Ocean and the masses around it.
With a soft love light.
A soft love light. Thank you. And see it penetrating through the surface of the Earth. And we ask for interventions on all those things that are being done to our environment that have a negative impact on a human being. From chemtrails to HARP to GMOs. And we just ask to bless ourselves right now. Bless ourselves with this beautiful energy that we are becoming accustomed to hold that energy, to heal ourselves, and to heal each other. On that note, we turn it over to our sources and let them give their opening introduction.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you who wishes connection. it does our energy heart good to be able to connect and know that you are not alone, that you are part of the family and are beginning to realize you are part of the family. We are here for you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question, and this is from John Sibolansky. We've asked some of these questions before, but here's one I don't think we've asked. And John is asking about birth, conception, and what happens. And he has a question about what is the relationship or interaction between the soul's DNA and the DNA of the sperm and the egg. And, you know, I just an addendum to his question. We all know that people can tend to look like one parent or the other. And we also know that people can look like their past lives, which would be the soul, the DNA that the soul is carrying. What is it that, how does the DNA construct itself with all of these influences?
Thank you. When the baby is developed and is patterning itself after the mother and father, then it develops a DNA. And then at birth, the individual who is going to be inhabiting that body sometimes takes over at a various time, after birth or before birth or while in the womb. Whenever they take over, they begin to add their own DNA into the genetics of the baby. Sometimes after a baby is born, they look very much like the parent. But then after they have been living for a while, they begin to look more and more as they did in their past life. It is possible even that we take a look and we see it as possible for the DNA in some cases to change when the individual takes over that body or before it is born. At some point, then the DNA begins to change to reflect the DNA of the person, the entity that is taking over the body.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. A question from Edna. And I have been seeing myself working in a lot of mathematical formulas when I am sleeping. I would like to know if the sources could tell me what specifically I am working on or what events I am working on. The sources told me in the past about my work with mathematical formulas and building blocks for events. And lately I have seen myself really busy with these beautiful formulas. I'm sending you much love and big thanks for all the support, Edna.
Thank you. The formulas and the mathematical formulas are ones that you have worked with before in the generation of structures in the manifest or that will be coming into the manifest realm. these are things you have worked on before, and you are going back and during sleep and connecting with section of Elohim that you have worked with before and are involved with, have been involved with in the past in development of structures. You are looking partly at what has happened in the past, and partly you also visit places where you had been and are then seeing those formulas and working with those formulas as you bring them to your mind.
Next question is from Joshua Turner, and he's asking for a message from his higher self for guidance.
Keep on going. Keep on following your highest goal. Keep on the path of unconditional love, and it will lift you above the downs and carry you like a bridge over the bad times.
You know, one way to look at some of the difficult times, I told this to somebody, and it's kind of, it's a way to switch the energy around, and that is, as soon as you're feeling it, add the word love to it. I love that I'm suffering. I'm finally getting over it. I love that I'm in fear. At least I'm surfacing my fear. And, you know, it's not like you're supposed to encourage all of it, but just by adding love to it, you can start to switch the energy. Because now you have a loving energy attached to something that doesn't feel very loving. And,
if you see it as it is, if you see it and do not resist it, but if you love it, just see it and love it and let it go, then it can dissolve. If you look at it and say, oh my God, I'm not supposed to go there, oh my God, oh, let me out of here, oh my God, then it just stays and does not dissolve.
Thank you. Cleo asks, what is the difference between a timeline and a time track? Now, I'm not sure that's not just a vocabulary difference, but we'd have to define what we mean by timeline and time track. And I was thinking that I used it. If I was using those two words, timelines, I usually use on different dimensions where time moves at different speeds, different timelines. And time track, I would use it as the unfolding of time in this dimension. In a
for an individual. Or for an individual.
For an individual.
Their own time track.
Right, but I don't know if that's what she means, but I'll just turn it over to you to comment. Thank you.
Thank you. That is correct. When you have a timeline, it is a master that is shared by people. When you have a time track, it is of a specific manifest being or manifest world that has specific incidents that go back in time and are holds the object for that being's time track. When are you muted?
Oh yeah, there we go. It's for that's what we have for Rizia. I'm gonna see if we can't go to a couple of her questions. And Rizia, you have to remember when you ask a question, sometimes you tend to ask a question as if there is destiny and that things are all prepared out, like you don't have to do anything. And I don't think that's accurate because your life, you could say your life has the sum of all your past lives, which is affecting your future, and that you are at the middle of it, constantly making all kinds of decisions and steering it. And you can make a decision that would change an outcome very easily if you made a certain decision. And if you didn't make that decision, you'd have a different outcome. So when you ask a question as if it's preordained for things to happen, you are kind of giving up your power because it sounds like everything is meant to be. And if everything is meant to be, then why bother going through the paces? Part of the excitement of life is that nothing is meant to be and that we are creating everything. But there are tracks where creation is locked in because people are rigid. So on that particular track, then it's not going to move very far because somebody is creating that track. But if you loosen the rigidity of the track, then your creation, your intention changes the outcome. And so that's why when you say, will I be able to go back to my part-time job by such and such a date using my right hand and wrist without any pain or complication? That's one of those questions. It's like destiny, okay, saying this is going to do this. On that note, why don't I reword the question? And I say, my right hand and wrist are not operating very well and making it difficult for me to do my regular job. Can you recommend anything I can do to make my healing go faster? Okay? You see the different slant in that, Rizia? It's kind of like I'm not taking it as destiny. I'm asking them for their support. You never know what's going to happen when you do that. I turn it over to our sources. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things that you can do is to, as you're sitting and meditating, in a chair or lying down, look at your wrist in the area where the break is and send it loving energy. Picture that it's healed. Picture that the time for healing is over and it's healed and it's fine. This, believe it or not, is giving that energy to your wrist of healing. And the cellular consciousness in the area begins to pick it up, and it may be more painful because it's when you have a separation, it is like an alienation between the two parts, and then when it comes growing back together, it can be very painful. So when you concentrate on the area, it might become more painful. But that is because you have speeded up the healing and there was more pain per unit of time, and the molecules are coming back together and feeling, giving off, releasing the pain of circulation. So it may hurt more when you do that, but just keep giving it loving, healing energy, picturing it. As we are doing right now, as we are talking, picture it, healing. And the break is filled in and picture the muscles being able to use the muscles as the muscles have gotten stiff from misuse. Picture them being supple and being able to operate. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, we have somebody on our call that has had a house. This is not a question. I'm making a comment here. They've had a house for sale for quite some time, and it just didn't seem like anyone was buying their house looking at it. And then something suddenly shifted, and they sent me an email that there suddenly were two people involved in a bidding war on our house. And that looks like it's going to sell for more than the asking price. And this is an example. She gives us credit. She gives our sources credit. But I give her credit because, you know, it's very, very subtle and slight the way you change something inside of yourself that causes an enormous change outside of yourself. And it's kind of so simple that we make it hard. It's kind of like we go, change. And it's like, it's almost like when you get into the light synchronicity of it, and this is one that I've had many times, that you think you want something, and that what you want comes in so easily, and you miss it because it was too easy. And you thought it had to be really hard, okay? But sources want to make any comment on that?
When everything is in line, it seems easy. And when it is in alignment between your intention and your thoughts with what the reality is that you wish, it can then go smoothly, like set of gears that have been sort of out of adjustment, and you put them in adjustment so that they work together, and all of a sudden the outcome can go forward.
Thank you. Question from Bonnie in Corona. Which she is resubmitting after we didn't do it for the last couple of weeks. So, Bonnie, thanks for being persistent. I call in the light at least once a day. Some days I use my invocation several times. I have learned to sense the high vibrations associated with our sources, and I'm delighted to be able to connect with it on my own. Is it okay to do this in such a casual way? I feel the sacredness of our rare communication here, and yet I'm quite comfortable with it. I would like to learn to call in the light out loud to share with others. I feel like the boy who called wolf at times, as I will ask for the presence of the light just to practice feeling the energy. I will forward the previous questions if need be. Just let me know. You better forward them to me, Bonnie, because I have to go back and look them up. But let's see. Now that I read all that, it doesn't look like there's a question there, is it? Okay, you know, just with the respect
She asked if it was okay to do it in a casual way, I believe.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's okay to do this in a casual way. And
yes. Yes, it is. We do not even need it in them to call our name, or it's the intention that gets through to us. It's the intention that creates the light. And it is a working relationship between the intention and the changing of the manifest universe, which creates light. So when you're sitting there with the intention and it's going out from your body and it's beginning to change manifest reality, light is created.
And, you know, I wanted to make a comment here. Those of you that have been on my calls.
Close the three mic, Mike.
Close the mic. All right. I wanted to make a comment for those of you that have been attending the calls for a while. You will know that for the longest period of time, I called it an experiment. And it's like, when you don't know you can do something, when you're learning it, or when you're not sure if anyone's going to believe you, it's intimidating. I mean, it would be like saying, you know what, I'm talking to these guys that say they created the universe. I'd like to introduce them to you. Would you like to have an introduction here? I'm going to call them in. And it's like, too much, okay? It's kind of like people will back off. They'll think you're a nutcase. So I learned myself, and I'm saying this to Bonnie, but it's probably true, all of you want to share this with people. It's like to say, listen, I want to do an experiment. I've been on this conference call, and I've learned to feel these energies on this call that really feel good. And I just been curious. I want to see if you can feel them. Would you do that? Could you do an experiment with me? It feels really good. And then say, this is not exactly a prayer, and this is not exactly religious. But go along and see if you can feel it. And you know what? You don't have, you could call in the light in the official way we do it, but you know, you can also modify it so it fits the situation with that person. Like, you could make it up and say, I am here sitting with my friend Bonnie, and I've learned to feel energies from somewhere in higher dimensions, and I want to share this experience with Bonnie. So let's go into a little bit of silence and see if we can have energy come that Bonnie feels. And if she doesn't, that's okay, because this is an experiment. And you see, the way I said that, I didn't sound like I'm a religious fanatic or whatever. I was just asking, having a high intention to bring energy in. And the outward form is not nearly as important as the intention. And then when you're finished, give the other person a lot of freedom, say, did you notice any tingles in your body? Okay, well, you didn't. All right, well, thanks for letting me try that. I'm just trying to see if people can tell. You know, and the big thing is it is a sacred space. And one can be very vulnerable when they're sharing a sacred space. And one can feel rejected or hurt if someone doesn't respond in a way where they notice the sacredness of it. So it's a matter of expressing it so that you can work around all of those inhibitions. And let me turn it over to our sources and see if they have any comments on that.
Give us a moment.
com. This is Terry, and I lost the track. There, they were commenting very deeply on the subject, and then when you asked, I lost the track of their thought. And could you revivify?
Why don't I repeat the question, okay?
Yes.
Excuse me. I'll just shut up more, okay? Let me see.
Call the energy back in.
Yeah, just a second. Let me find the question before I do that, okay? I call in the light at least once a day. Some days I use my invocation several times. I have learned to sense the high vibrations associated with our sources, and I'm delighted to be able to connect with it on my own. Is it okay to do this in a casual way? I feel the sacredness, and yet I'm quite comfortable with it. I would like to learn to call in the light out loud to share with others. I feel like the boy who called Wolf at times, as I will ask for the presence of the light, just to practice feeling the energy. So she's first of all saying, is it okay to do this in a casual way? And that she
yes,
like
and
call?
Our answer was yes, it is okay to do it in a casual way. It depends upon the intention, as the intention is the thing that begins to change the manifest universe around one and creates a light as the energy of the thing that is desired to be changed begins to change. It begins to burn off resistance and begins to create a light. Intention is very important, and it doesn't matter the format. It doesn't matter what you call us. It is beautiful that you have learned to sense the higher vibrations. This is something that will help you throughout the ages.
Thank you. Next question here is from... It has to do with Rh positive. This is from Gail in Rockaway, New Jersey. Approximately 85 to 90% of humans carry Rh positive factor, an antigen directly connected to the rhesus monkey. 10 to 15% do not carry the antigen and are known as Rh negative. Does Rh negative imply that these humans have extraterrestrial origin?
All humans have extraterrestrial origin. It depends upon the ancestry, whether one has Rh negative or Rh positive. It is a particular ancestry that has the Rh negative, which has more ability, more copper in the blood, and more ability to hold oxygen. It is simply a different line of ancestry.
Thank you. Next question is from, let me just see here, from Jim in Medford, New Jersey. I believe it is a shared and accepted understanding that we are living in a special time as it relates to the history of humanity. I also think it is safe to say that there is an aspect of each of our individual incarnations that we intentionally choose as a matter of spiritual free will. If one takes a minute and compares the current state of humanity, one thing that is obvious to me is how huge the population is when compared to other times in Earth's history. Is that a condition of what is so special about this place and time? Have we all been here before? Could it be that every individual that ever lived here on Earth is in the process of being alive at the same time, and that is intentional? Could that be what was referred to by religious writings referencing raised from the dead as a misunderstanding of the knowledge that at this time we would all return for some special reason? I can't explain where I got this idea from, but it often comes to mind while I am listening to your calls, so I decided to see what our sources have to say. Jim in Medford, New Jersey.
Thank you. Each time is peculiar to that period of time. This is a time when many people are alive, and it is a time of great change, great communication between people and the ability to move and to change faster. Give us a moment. We do not see that it was the special time that is a special time because of all the people. That has its own lifeblood, its own charm. However, we look at everything in the moment as it is in the moment. Everything is created in the now. And we do not see that all of the people that ever lived are here now, are created in the present time. That there are people still that were living before, that have moved on. In a sense, everyone lives after their transition. And so it is what it is. We do not see a really big special significance of everyone here now being alive in the current time, except it is a wonderful time to learn and to grow, and the opportunities for growth are much more than they have been in the times in the past when there was isolation. So it is a good time to be alive and to learn and to grow.
Sometimes people wonder where all these souls come from. And for example, there were times in previous history when the Earth had nowhere near the population it does now, and now it has a huge population that's drastically expanding. And it seems to me that there are billions of souls waiting to have bodies, and they just wait in a timeless place until the civilization can produce enough bodies Do you want to comment on that? Is that true?
It is not so formatted as that, although there are a number of people that are waiting for bodies. It is created in the moment, and the opportunities are in the moment. There are millions and millions of souls that would take up the opportunity to live in this period of time. They, in a time past, did not have as many bodies, and it was known that there were not as many bodies, and so the individual who was looking for a body would need to find either the wherewithal to inhabit a current body or to find an alternative means of existence. Here now, the bodies are more and are more available. And it does give an opportunity for many more souls to inhabit bodies.
Thank you. Hey, that's going to be our last question for tonight. Rich Buckley, submit your question again, okay? Thank you all for being here and holding the energy for this. Thank you to our sources. Thank you, all of you on the Internet. And special thanks to Willow for being so forthright in her opinions, whatever she's thinking. And on that note, let me unmute everybody. Hang on a second. Where's the unmute? Where's the unmute?
Much love, you all.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Much love to all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Thank you. Bye. I call part to myself.
And
thanks, Winnetary.
And we send you all the greatest energy to meet tonight and tomorrow, okay?
All right.
Thanks,
Sunday.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Winnetary. Good call.
Thank all of you. Your conference recording has stopped.